been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It looks like the last day of November today, if you can believe it. This is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and CFA Barry Kite in the house with us today. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, good morning to you.
How about that? The NASDAQ just went positive after, you know, the futures. I get an alert in the middle of the night. I gotta turn that down, you know, somehow.
Yeah.
Dow down 500 points on new Omicron. Omicron fears. That's the new one. The NASDAQ was reeling, but it's not too bad. The Dow right now is down 206 to 34,929. The NASDAQ just went positive. It's up 33 points to 15,819. Maybe it'll challenge that 16,000 level again. The small cap's down 1% today. The S&P 500 down 17. Mostly, I would say it's the bank stocks and the energy, oil and gas stocks that are probably the weakest hand today. Because crude oil is down $2.44 per barrel today, $67.51. And I read the other day there's about a 100-day lag between a price drop in oil and a price drop at the local gas station. Gold is up $21 per ounce. That must mean the dollar's down. Silver's up 37 cents. The 10-year is down 10 basis points. How about that? 1.43. Of course, that's what's hitting the financials today, and that's probably, on the other hand, what's helping the tech stocks today. Last but not least, our friends at Bitcoin up $1,491 to $58,493. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Barry, I had a fun day yesterday sitting here at the trading desk. We had a huge day after, you know, not so good day on Friday. But when all the beans were counted yesterday, the NASDAQ was up 291 points. It got back almost all of what it lost on Friday. And I would just call that last Friday another panic attack in the market. And I would say it's not good to panic. It's better to control your emotions. Take an ibuprofen, whatever. Calm down when you hear these breaking stories that have the futures down overnight. I was listening to Ed Yardini today. I really respect him. He's one of the market analysts that I like. He's very calm. He's very clear-headed. He's been a bull like me since 2008, 2009. He's kept a diary of panic attacks in the market since 2009. This one on Friday was number 71, Barry, over the last 12 years. So that's about, what, six a year? Six every 2 months we have a big scare of something, and people run to the phone or their computer, I guess, and back out and sell everything. The problem is, what would you have done on a day like yesterday? Would you have been buying back in? You're selling low and you're buying high.
Well, I think that's where you know, looking at things from a portfolio management standpoint, right? We're looking at entire portfolios versus as an individual investor, right? We could all, you know, individually freak out, right? And of course, but when we're looking at things, you know, and one of the reasons to work with the portfolio manager, right, is, you know, we're looking at things from a portfolio standpoint. It takes a good bit of the emotion out. And that's, I think that's a lot, you know, where we're benefiting our clients and just where, you know, professional management, right, is benefiting, the individual investor versus, you know, versus that panic, you know, cause otherwise you're going to get, you know, essentially get head faked.
Yeah.
And you're going to miss,
whipsawed.
Right. And you're going to realize that loss on Friday and then not be back in the market fast enough, on Monday. And
yeah.
So, and you can look those calculations, right, where if you miss the, what, you know, the 10 biggest days, you know, up days in the market, right, your return versus, you know, is this versus this. So there's something to be said for that. And with increased volatility, you know, that math ends up being more correct over time.
Yeah, well, and look at the odds. 71 panic attacks since 2009, yet the bull market remains intact for the most part today. Other than the year 2000 and the COVID year, but we still ended up positive. We had a huge year last year in the market. So you're 0 for 71 if you succumb to the panic attack and sold everything. Now I'm not saying that there won't be, these have all been, I guess, false alarms and fire drills. But what it's going to take eventually is something that really starts to interfere with earnings of the S&P 500 companies. And, you know, I did a lot of reading over the weekend into this new variant. And from everything I could see, the symptoms are mild. It does seem to spread faster. That's the real worry. And it's not any more deadly than, you know, the previous ones. And it does look like the vaccines will work for the most part, but they're also prepared to produce new vaccines. Yardini also mentioned this morning that there's still a lot of liquidity in the market. We saw that yesterday. There was plenty of firepower on the sidelines to take advantage, you know, of the big drop in the market on Friday. And you also have to figure that last Friday, most of your big investors were eating Thanksgiving leftovers and, you know, Christmas shopping, putting the lights up on their house, whatever the case may be. It was very thinly traded. But they were back in force yesterday, and, you know, the oil stocks had a pretty good day. I thought they would have done a lot better. But tech was the star yesterday. It was the semiconductors. I think AMD hit a new high yesterday. Lam Research broke out yesterday. The software stocks had a good day yesterday. In fact, I would call those two the sectors of the day yesterday. So anyways, you know, taking that emotion out of it, I know it's hard to do. Look, I've had clients, Barry, that they've admitted to me, I can't control my emotions. That's why I'm turning it over to you. You sound pretty level-headed, and you don't collapse every time there's a little panic attack in the market. Sometimes you have to put someone between you and your emotions. And then you know what, Barry? We have people that their emotions get to them and they override my decisions, right? I think we've got a few people still sitting out on the sidelines in the market, which has been a big mistake because it's been hitting new highs, because they overrode what I was doing and said, hey, I just want to sell everything. Anyways, all right, I would call the stock of the day yesterday was our featured stock, Lithium Americas, LAC. Now, there's a little profit-taking in it today. It's down 3%. But it was up 14.8% yesterday, and there was a big move in the lithium stocks because automaker Stellantis. You drive a Stellantis? You ever go to a Stellantis dealer? Well, that's Chrysler and Fiat, and, you know, it used to be the big three. Chrysler became Stellantis. They're securing sources for lithium. Seems like everybody is. Stellantis is looking to have 70% of its European sales electrified by 2030 with the full lineup of electric vehicles. And I know the Biden administration, they're calling for 50% of all sales, car sales, by 2030. Just 8 years down the road to be electric, So there's got to be a big, big change, because right now, what are the electric vehicle sales? About 2%, I want to say, of all the cars out there.
Yeah, they have to get those increases because of the emission standards. What I think at some point, I think they on average is it they have to be 50 or 100 miles per gallon here soon.
I think it's 50.
Yeah, which means they have to increase the electric side of the calculation, because it doesn't matter how light or combustible engine, we're not getting on average to 50 miles per hour.
No.
50 miles per
no.
Per gallon,
you'd have to have a hybrid car. And then there was a big investment by the Koch brothers yesterday in Standard Lithium, SLI, which is up again today and starting to break out. So the lithium stocks remain white hot. We'll be right back with Powell's warning about Omicron. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now. We had a little surge there in the NASDAQ. It went positive, but now it's back to being flat. But there was a little surge in, I'd say, three stocks. Tesla, Apple surged a bit, and Lam Research. On the downside today is definitely the energy stocks, lithium and oil. Of course, they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. But oil's having another bad day today with the maybe Fed Chairman Powell. He warned that Omicron could slow the recovery. Well, Barry, that's one of those bad news is good news, because look at the reaction in the bond market. Interest rates are going down, right?
Right, yeah, significantly.
So the Fed, they were getting a little worried there. Interest rates were starting to spike again. We had a couple of really bad NASDAQ days. In fact, a week ago, Monday and Tuesday, were big down NASDAQ days as the 10-year approached 1.70. Now, with this Omicron, we're back to 1.44. And, of course, that takes down the financial stocks. So I just think that right now an attack that's is heavily weighted towards growth, but I think you got to balance it out just a little bit with some financials, because the interest rates are probably going to go back up again. And even though they have their bad days when interest rates go down, it seems to me like the course of least resistance for interest rates going forward is up. Unless this virus really takes off. But he did warn a little bit. He has to do things like that, said that it could slow the recovery, if obviously. But nobody sees us going back into lockdowns once again and, all of the heavy requirements, at least not yet. Hong Kong down more than 2% yesterday. China factory activity grew in November. I've been watching our port, Barry. On Saturday, went for a little boat ride. I passed three of the enormous freighters on the Wando River, fully loaded, being unloaded. And I also saw three over on the Cooper River. So I guess Santa Claus coming early to the in the form of Chinese freighters, bringing in goodies to the port of Charleston. England is going to impose mask mandates. I think New York, too, is like way out in front of this and already recommending wearing a mask inside. Why, you watch television? You're supposed to, I guess. England to impose mask mandates to curb spread of Omicron. They're pretty much getting out in front of it. The EU expects to approve a shot against Omicron in 3 to 4 months. And I did hear that, I heard the CEO of Moderna out there, those stocks have all of a sudden ignited again, Pfizer, Moderna.
Yeah, after they were, after Moderna, you know, took a, if you look at the chart there, it took a deep, was way off its high, and then what I know, I think either Friday or yesterday was up, you know, 25% or so in the, you know, since this whole announcement.
It had a huge day. And then there's another player now, this Valneva, V-A-L-N, which is out of France. That thing is exploding to the upside. This stock was just kind of lumbering along at about $24 a share. And then all of a sudden they became a player in the vaccine race, fell back again, and now it's taken off. It's $64 a share. It's had two huge days in a row on Friday and yesterday. V-A-L-N is that symbol. And then there's another one. This one I kind of teased in, on Twitter today. I am at Bill Gunderson on Twitter. That's my StockTwits feed that flows through to Twitter. On StockTwits, I have 60,000 followers at Bill Gunderson. You got a Twitter handle there, Barry, that folks can follow?
If I do, I need to I don't know. If I do, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, okay. We'll get you set up. Yeah, you got to get set up on StockTwits.
Right.
I like StockTwits. When I see things that jump off the page at me, I send it out, and I have a lot of followers that then forward it, you know, retweet it out there. I got a lot of people that follow what I do during the day. Now, of course, only the subscribers and the clients get the really juicy stuff, the actual purchases and kind of the inside baseball that I'm seeing. Just following me on Twitter throughout the day, I send out quite a bit of info. I don't know very many people that are in it as deep as I am on a daily basis. I mean, since yesterday, there's a lot that's happened in the market. And then, of course, during the day today, we'll see a lot. But one that caught my eye yesterday was Adagio, A-D-G-I. A-D-G-I. Why did it catch my eye? Because it blasted off, and it's blasting off again today. It's up 36%. They already have an antibody drug that is designed to remain effective against the variants. Now, Merck's drug comes out today, Molnupiravir or something like that. That's an antibody cocktail that's very potent. And then Pfizer has one even more potent. I don't think it's available yet, but there's a small player called Adagio, A-D-G-I. This stock was a huge mover yesterday, and it's a huge mover again today, $7.5 billion. It just went public at 17 several months ago, but they're in the right place at the right time, ADGI. Okay, the supply chain. Finally, the Federal Trade Commission has started an inquiry into recent supply chain disruptions. Now, this should have been months ago. Right. They're going to call in the 9 largest retailers and ask them their opinion of what's going on and get, you know, expert testimony, I suppose, from Walmart and Amazon and Kroger, Procter & Gamble, Tyson, Kraft, Heinz, etc. Maybe we can help get that supply chain unclogged. Guess who's going to be the largest delivery service? Okay, you've got UPS, you know, they're pretty big. You've got FedEx out there. And according to CNBC, who do you think, Barry, will be the largest delivery service by 2022?
By 2022,
it's not DoorDash. On the
that's what I was going to say. Let's go with. I mean, it can't be DHL, right? It's got to be
Amazon.
Well, because they're going to have their own. Yep, doing their own delivery.
Amazon. I mean, how many Amazon vans? Someday, maybe there'll be Rivian vans. We'll see. But I see way more Amazon vans than Postal Service. Then FedEx, then a UPS, they're everywhere. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of individual names. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up 24 right now. It's bouncing around below the line, above the line, right on the line. The Dow's down 185, so things have improved a little bit here today. Downside stocks that stand out to me, Dillard's is down 9.4%, DDS. On a downgrade, natural gas, ETF, down 7% today. And Longeveron, which has been one of those meme stocks, down 12.1% today. Okay, now, Twitter. We got to mention Twitter. You know, Twitter's been a terrible performer over the years. It never made it, you know, as one of the really big players like Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and whatnot. And Dorsey stepped down yesterday as the CEO of Twitter. I don't know if that will help or not, but the stock is currently ranked in the app at number 3,950. 3,950.
That stock was all over the place yesterday. I saw where, I think at the initial announcement, I think before the open, I think Twitter was up 11% on the news that he was no longer going to be the CEO. And then I think by the end of the day, I think if I remember right, I think it finished down a bit. So it went on a wild ride, part of it pre-market yesterday.
Yeah, you know, and if the app, one of the things that's the beauty of the app is you can compare the performance of the stock side by side with the S&P 500. Over the last 12 months, Twitter's down 1.4%. The market's up 27.1%. And a lot of this has happened in the last 3 months, with Twitter down 26.9% over the last 3 months. So, you know, you would just think with all of the eyeballs on Twitter that they could monetize that thing. That is an ugly chart, really ugly chart. It's a $36 billion company now. It's lost. It was about $60 billion not that long ago. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe some new management there. Now, Facebook, they're going to delay their move to their new ticker. This will take some getting used to. I mean, at least Alphabet kept their same ticker, Goog,
right,
G-O-O-G. Yeah. Facebook's going to change their ticker to MVRS. Facebook's done a much better job. You know, Zuckerberg, you may not like him, but as a CEO, he's been a much better CEO for stockholders than Dorsey has. Over the last 12 months, Facebook's up 23%, market's up 27%, but over the last 3 years, Facebook's averaged a return of 52% per year. Market is 19.3, and Facebook's currently ranked number 168. 168 out of 5,985. See, I'm going to call it Facebook forever when it's Meta Platforms. Meta Platforms. And here's the deal. I mean, over the last 5 years, this is what separates the men from the boys for me in the market as far as stocks. Facebook's averaged 27% per year growth, compound annual growth. Well, that translates to capital appreciation. And Twitter, on the other hand, over the last 5 years, has been all over the map. Their earnings have been all over the map, very inconsistent. So there's the tale of two stocks, one good and one pretty mediocre. Of course, now Dorsey also is the CEO of Square. I think it's performed better.
So he'll be the full-time CEO there now, correct? I believe.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll take a look. I've owned Square in the past, but you know, right now the payment stocks are not doing very well. MasterCard, Visa, Square, PayPal just got pounded here over the last several weeks. Not quite sure why. If it's competition, slowing retail sales, but this has not been a good space. How about an IPO that's up 1,074% in 3 days? Okay. Aero Clean. Listen to this. AERC. Now, a lot of these slip under the radar. They go public. Now, look at it today. Now, obviously, there was something going on there.
Wow.
This stock goes from $10 a share to $117 in 3 days. And look at it today. It's down $71 per share or 61%. How can you not say that there's manipulation there?
What, you think they hit the market perfectly, though? I mean, they came. It's a their interior space air purification company.
Yes,
for that. COVID. So it's like it just so happens they come out right in the middle of the Omicron news, right? And then,
yeah, they have a product. They have a filter called Pergo, which is continuous air cleaning. Okay, so in an office space or whatever, and it's a product that helps, you know, eliminate the virus from going around the office and whatnot. But their sales, they just started to sell this thing, and they haven't even recognized any sales yet. But that thing goes from 10 to 120 in 3 days, and then it's back down 60%. That would have been a sure short sale yesterday, I would think. You'd be up 61% if you could have shorted that thing towards the end of the day yesterday. I didn't see it till this morning, so all of this had already taken place. Valneva, they're in a pack to produce their COVID-19 vaccine candidate. I just don't see how these second-tier players are going to get much market share. But Valneva's been hot, VALN. Bitcoin news. El Salvador, he's going to create a Bitcoin city down there. El Salvador president Nayib Bukele, he bought 100 more Bitcoins yesterday.
Right.
This is the government, okay? This is the government coffers. He bought when they got down to 53,000, he claims. He's the first country to make Bitcoin legal tender, and he plans to build a Bitcoin city. Well, how about that? And then Michael Saylor at MicroStrategy, he bought 7,000 more Bitcoins. That's $414 million. That's $500 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what the company now does for a living at MicroStrategy is they buy Bitcoin. It has pretty much become a proxy for Bitcoin. They were a software company for many years.
Well, the El Salvador, did you see they're going to power, they're building the city around a volcano. This is one of my favorite stories from this weekend. They're building the city around a volcano. They're going to use the volcano to power for the mining, for the Bitcoin mining. Gosh. And all I could think of was, so it sounds like it's an active volcano.
Yeah.
So I had to chuckle and because I'm thinking, okay, are we Mount Vesuvius here again, or what's
crazy.
Going on? But
well, that is an area very active volcanic right. action. Okay, Roku. You know what? Here was another. I had to tweet it out yesterday. I was watching the market. We had a huge day yesterday. And I looked at ARK funds, I always do. She was down yesterday. And I tweeted out, I said, even on a big day in the market, you know, ARK is down. And someone tweeted back, how dare you, you know, question the queen, you know, Kathy Woods, which gets more publicity and press these days than almost anybody. But she was down yesterday. I know one of her big holdings is Roku. You know, that stock just keeps getting pounded. Look at the chart. If you were just a chart reader, this stock was $490 in late July. $490. And since then, it's lost about 60% of its value. How can you write a stock down 60%? Now, we talk about panic attacks and not buckling at the knees, you know, when the market has gets hit with bad news. But individual stocks are a little bit different story, Barry. You know, I'm a survivor. I'm a not a Pearl Harbor survivor, but, you know, 2000, the year 2000, the NASDAQ got firebombed, down 70%, 80%, 80%, dot-com bubble burst. And, you know, I mean, when the stock starts going down, you got to question yourself. And we do. I mean, you've seen us, Barry. Sometimes it happens overnight. There's nothing you can do, right? Bad news on a biotech or whatnot. But to write a stock down 60%, it's being upgraded today. Roku, I would just say no thanks to Roku. All right, when we come back, the stocks that stand out to the upside for us today. I got a good one. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, for whatever reason, the market has taken a decided turn to the south. The Dow is now down 1%, down 338, and the NASDAQ, the bottom, just dropped out. It's down 130 points right now. It was up about 40 points at one point in time. So, you know, there's news in the background, I'm sure, somewhere. Somebody's probably come out with a little bit more dire forecast in Omicron than the others. But nevertheless, there are three stocks here that kind of catch my eye today. For whatever reason, and I'm not sure why, gold has got a bid underneath it recently, and the gold stocks are starting to take off. Gold Fields, for instance, GFI, which is a $10 billion company out of South Africa, the Omicron hotspot of the world. It also pays a dividend yield of 2.5%. Now, there's an idea for the dividend and growth. I'm going to put that on the list there. It's currently ranked number 13 overall out of 5,985 stocks. We're almost to 6,000. Look at the chart on GFI, Gold Fields. It broke out. It's breaking out big time today, and it's been moving up in rank. And you're almost at a point here where the 50-day moving average is going to cross above the 200-day moving average and create a golden cross on a golden stock.
There's a combination.
Yeah, how about that? Now, I don't understand why gold is moving. Now, you know, gold usually moves on anticipation of inflation, big political global events, conflict, things like that. I mean, China is rattling the saber at Taiwan. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Russia's rattling the saber at Ukraine. And the dollar usually has a lot to do with the movement in gold and gold stocks. The dollar was down this morning. Maybe that has something to do with it. Now it's starting to come back.
Yeah, I did just see some news come across the line that, of course, you know, we've got Powell and Yellen speaking in front of lawmakers today, and Powell says it's time to retire the word transitory for inflation.
Uh-oh.
So that just
there
literally just crossed the wire, which is probably why you're seeing the NASDAQ, S&P, and the markets going south. I haven't looked at the 10-year, but my guess is the 10-year yield is rising, and that's probably what this is
Powell's the Grinch
to.
That just stole Christmas.
Yeah,
the Dow down 413, son of a gun.
He's done it before, 2018.
Yeah, 418, Jerome. Do you think before you say anything? The S&P's down 54, and the NASDAQ now is down 172. Okay. A little volatility in the markets. It was down 350 on Friday. It was up 290 yesterday, and now it's down 172 today. The other stock that but Apple was breaking out to a new all-time high before this news came along. Apple, however, is still up 1.8%. Apple is currently ranked number 126 overall. And, you know, every time it dips, and we have new clients coming aboard all the time, and, you know, I wait until I see a good buying opportunity in stocks that we already own. And I was buying Apple, I think, on Friday during the big dip day. And it is a nice breakout. It is at an all-time high right now, $2.7 trillion dollar market capitalization. I wonder what Steve Jobs' widow is worth. I don't know what she did with all her stock, but two guys starting Apple, $2.7 trillion. And then the third one, I'm always looking for new growth stories to come along. According to Wedbush and Dan Ives, who's a pretty good technology analyst, Matterport, MTTR, they're calling it one of their best new ideas, putting a $38 price target on it, raising it from 30. This stock was just moving along at 10, 12. Then all of a sudden, Berenberg came along with an upgrade. That sent it flying. And now Wedbush is jumping on. This stock had a massive breakout yesterday, and it's pulling back today 9%. It doesn't have a ranking yet in the app because it's only been public for about 5 or 6 months, but it has an A-plus momentum grade, And Dan Ives says this is one of the best under-the-radar growth stories in the market. What did they do? It has something to do with they provide a 3D data platform to design, build, promote, and manage homes, offices, hotels, factories, and shops. So MTTR, those are the three stocks. And all of the reading I did since yesterday and the charts, I looked at 1,000 charts since yesterday, read all the stories since yesterday's radio show, and those are the three that kind of jump off the page here to me. So, yeah, obviously the big news here just recent is Jerome Powell warning a little bit. Now, this morning he was warning about, you know, this may derail growth in the economy. And then on the other hand, he's saying inflation, we can retire the word transitory, which you and I did that a long time ago. We said this is not transitory. This is around to stay. And, of course, one of the biggest impacts on inflation has been oil prices. But it's down to $68 per barrel, so there must be other things that he sees out there that's going to continue to be inflationary. Okay, well, that's why you kind of need a balanced approach right now. We've had 71 panic attacks in the market since 2009, yet we've remained bullish. We've been cautious a few times along the way, but we've pretty much taken advantage of this 12-year bull market, and we don't react to all of those panic attacks. We sit back, we analyze, we watch, we let the dust settle a little bit, and we continue to look for best stocks now as, you know, the environment changes. Obviously, this is a totally different market. This is not a COVID market, a work-from-home market this year. It's totally different. If you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to see how our portfolios are doing, you can see that in the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, including what we currently own, what we've been buying, what we've been selling. GundersonCapital.com, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.